RCE at 107.7 FM, W299 CD, Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth telling Senate members during his confirmation hearing today that he will be a change agent for Donald Trump if he is confirmed. Democrats like ranking member Jack Reed say that concerns them.
The challenge of the Secretary of Defense is to remove partisan politics from the military. You propose to inject it. This would be an insult to the men and women who have sworn to uphold their own apolitical duty to the Constitution.
Republicans like Chairman Roger Wicker admit that the former Fox News host is unconventional. High winds are back in Southern California, but firefighters are making progress over some of the biggest wildfires around Los Angeles. The Eaton Fire, which destroyed much of Altadena, is now 35% contained. New study finds people over the age of 55 have a 4 out of 10 chance of developing dementia. Regular physical activity, controlling blood pressure, and getting your hearing checked can all help prevent it. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Wind chills are wicked. Be sure to cover all exposed skin. Frostbite can happen in as little as 30 minutes. Frostbite symptoms can include pain, numbness, swelling, blisters, and skin discoloration. It's most common on your fingers, toes, nose, and ears. It may lead to permanent, irreversible tissue damage. Limit your time outdoors and warm up your body often. If you believe that you have frostbite, go inside and seek shelter. Never rub it warm. You'll damage the freezing cells even further. Frostbite symptoms appear in 3 stages that include feeling cold, sore, and painful, which is frostnip. Then pins and needles, which is a surface frostbite. Lastly, numbness indicates a deep frostbite. If you're cold, your animals are too. Just like people, pets' cold tolerance can vary from pet to pet based on their coat, body fat, activity level, and health. So be aware and adjust accordingly. You may need to shorten your dog's walks in frigid temperatures, and short-haired pets and short-legged pets may also become colder faster because their bellies and bodies are more likely to come into contact with the snow-covered ground. Pets with diabetes, heart disease, kidney disease, and hormonal imbalances may also have a harder time regulating their body temperatures. The same goes for very young and very old animals. Some things you can do is provide choices or stay inside. Play dress-up and consider a dog sweater or coat, and always check their paws. They could crack or bleed from stepping on ice and are also prone to frostbite, just like us. So if your pet is whining, shivering, seems anxious, slows down or stops moving, or they seem weak and start looking for warm places to burrow, get them back inside quickly because they are showing signs of hypothermia. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Packers packed their bags. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers were cleaning out their lockers after losing to the Eagles on Sunday. Green Bay lost at least 4 players on offense due to injury during the game, including left guard Elgton Jenkins and center Josh Myers, who suffered a fractured leg. The backups committed some costly penalties that wiped out some first downs. Right guard Sean Ryan.
Yeah, it's, seeing those fucking little yellow flags on the floor really just kind of kills your vibe, but you got to be able to just move on and flush it. And, we had a couple holdings that negated huge gains for us. And the only thing to do about that, I guess, is just be better.
Elsewhere in the NFL, the Chicago Bears are set to meet with Mike McCarthy about their head coaching position. McCarthy fired by the Cowboys after 5 seasons in Dallas. NBA, the Bucks are back home tonight. They host the Sacramento Kings in Milwaukee. The Badgers are at the Kohl's Center against the Ohio State Buckeyes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Super sunny but feeling frigid cold. High temperatures will reach the mid-teens, but with feisty winds out of the northwest gusting up to 15 miles per hour, it's really going to be feeling like highs closer to 5 below. We've got another cold night on tap tonight before a warm-up starts tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's 3 degrees at our studios. The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
There may be lead contamination at your children's school. On the next show, we'll discuss the latest statement from Milwaukee Public Schools with Black and the campaign for lead-free water.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Lots of things coming up on the show today. Our colleague here at Civic Media and Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Cuska is joining us at 10:33. Jimmy's also very involved in local public schools.
Yes.
And he's been a school board member, and he has younger children who attend public schools. And we're going to be talking about there's more and more of a push for vouchers for religious schools. And we've talked about this many times before in Wisconsin and many other states now. We're essentially funding two different school systems.
By a great deal.
By a great deal, yes. So we are not only paying via taxpayer dollars for our public schools, we are paying taxpayer dollars to private schools. So we'll be talking about that with Jimmy Cuska after the 10:30 news. Next hour, hour number two, Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Oh, yes. I haven't seen any ads running yet.
No.
I think some are running depending upon where you are.
I know that Calvin said last week he's getting text messages from campaigns. Calvin's that true, right?
Yeah, it was actually weird. So I've only gotten the one, but it was like 10 minutes before we went on the air and then started talking about this. So yeah, it was last week and I've just gotten the one.
You're going to get a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to get many, many more, Calvin. We're going to be talking about the Supreme Court race and how much money we're already talking about. The last Supreme Court race where we saw Janet Protasiewicz elected justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, that was what, $50 million?
I believe so, yeah.
Some insane amount of money for a Supreme Court race. This one is expected to be even more expensive.
Yep.
We will talk about that next hour after the 11 o'clock news. Also next hour, an update on the world's worst broccoli cheddar soup.
The saga continues.
If you joined us yesterday in the second hour, we were talking about whether or not you send food back at restaurants.
Yeah.
I did not last Friday night, and I probably should have.
But we'll find out more.
Well, we'll give you an update on the world's worst broccoli cheddar soup, and then we'll wrap it all up with this shouldn't be a thing, something close to your heart, Greg Buck.
Yeah.
Lego edition.
Mm-hmm.
So stay tuned for that. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Already got a couple folks who have sent in suggestions for guests and for topics. So if there's something going on in your community, if you just want to start a dialogue about something, I had someone try to start a dialogue on the text line. It's impossible to do that.
No, yeah, you got to send us an email.
There are too many texts to go through to find out the thread of this conversation. So if you want to have a dialogue, please email me at Jane Says at civicmedia.us. We're going to talk about the Packers-Eagles game, something that I just found out about this morning. Yeah. But I did want to remind you that the hearings for Donald Trump's nominees are underway on Capitol Hill. Pete Hegseth is in the hot seat right now. You can watch it. It's on YouTube, I believe. It's also on CNN. If you're interested in watching Pete Hegseth get grilled about whether or not he is qualified to run the Department of Defense.
Spoiler alert, he's not.
Well, actually, there are many allegations against Mr. Hegseth, including past drinking problems. He was the head of two nonprofits, which apparently he crashed financially into the ground. And these were smaller nonprofits. The Department of Defense is enormous with a huge budget.
It's the defense budget is most of our budget.
Pretty much.
Don't forget, he is a host on Fox and Friends Weekends.
Weekends, yes.
Doesn't even have the big gig.
Well, that makes him qualified.
Yeah.
One source has told a reporter from the New Yorker they saw Pete Hegseth drinking excessively just within the last 2 years. He allegedly ordered 3 gin and tonics during breakfast in 2023. So you want to gear up for the day, I guess. You just down a couple G&Ts and prepare for the day. We will give you updates as those become available.
Who's talking? Different one.
It is Mr. Rounds right now.
Senator Rounds. Before we got in the air, it was Senator Kirsten Gillibrand from New York, and she is huge about the military, and she doesn't hold back, and she was not holding back, and
It's something to watch.
Yeah.
And these are going to be going on all this week, I believe. Why am I drawing a blank? Not Nancy Mace, not Kristi Noem.
Yeah.
Tulsi. I believe Tulsi Gabbard's hearing is going to be this week.
I forgot about Tulsi Gabbard.
You forgot about Tulsi and Bob Jr.
That's going to get ratings. That is going to be probably a Senate confirmation hearing on par with Supreme Court justice.
It's just interesting to see some of these guys who have been very vocal about their opinions and beliefs.
Yeah.
RFK Jr., big anti-vaxxer, always has been. Yep. This is his big claim to fame. Mm-hmm. And now that he's in this position and he could get this job as the head of the Department of Health and Human Services. Oy. Now it's like, no, I love vaccines. Pete Hegseth, this morning, he's been very, very vocal about how women should not be serving in the military. Now it's all backtracking. Well, I might have said that then, but that's not really what I meant.
No, you said it like a month ago. It's, yeah, I could talk for 2 hours about Bob Jr. and the...
Well, we're going to have more time.
...mystifying nature of that.
We will have more time. And just a brief update, the California wildfires continue. And tragically, the winds now, they had a couple of days, not quite these gale force winds, but now today, and I believe tomorrow as well, they're looking at another 80 to 100 mile an hour sustained winds, which is just going to make things a nightmare. Yeah. It's just going to be a nightmare. Bill from Oconomowoc is on the line. Good morning, Bill. Thank you for joining us. How you doing, sir?
Great. Say, I want to run something by you. I think with all that's going on in California, it's going to take 4 or 5 years to really get on top of it. 4 or 5 years of the Trump administration and California, Trump will lose the wind in his sails if the media and America focuses on California, because he has zero solutions. All he knows how to divide and argue and point fingers. After a while, the more we put into it for the humanitarian effect, the Christian effect, the helping each other, the stronger we become as a country and the weaker he becomes. I don't care if he buys the worst criminals in the world, which we're getting close. Forget about him. He can't. He's going to be like a little kid in a camera when a guy from a radio station's doing an interview and the little kid jumping up and down. Hey, look at me. Look at me.
Yeah.
Gavin Newsom already said we have a edict. Keep Trump out.
Well, thank you so much for calling, Bill. One of the things they're already doing, GOP lawmakers in California and abroad, are saying, we'll help you, But now you have to.
Now there's conditions.
There's conditions.
Yeah, we want you to do certain things in order for you to get this money. If they want to do that, that's fine. Then I think the next time that there's a hurricane that affects predominantly red states, then they should be given conditions in order to receive that money. Like, I don't know, improve your maternal health outcomes.
How about knock those education numbers up a little bit?
Yeah, get out of the bottom 10.
Yeah, so
maybe
it's not surprising. This is their way of. It's funny because after every shooting, after a mass shooting, it's don't politicize it. Well, now they're politicizing California's disaster by saying you have to do stuff. Quid pro quo.
Yeah. We'll keep you updated.
Yeah.
As things become available. But I really wanted to talk about this. I find this very disturbing. And maybe you don't. Maybe this is like, yeah, this is just what happens. And I've seen some comments about this that say this happens at every sporting event. I've only been to one Packers game. I've only been to a couple Brewers games in the last couple of years. So I can't confirm whether or not this is just a regular thing that happens. But this goes to Sunday's game between the Packers and the Eagles. There was a video posted on Twitter by a guy named Alexander Basra. He and his fiance are big Packers fans. Mm-hmm. And there was a guy behind them, an Eagles fan,
yes,
who during the entire game, was hurling insults at his fiance, including calling her a dumb, ugly C word. Repeatedly.
Yeah.
You're a dumb, ugly C word.
And this is not me saying it didn't happen. I've been to many Packer games. I've been to Bucks games. I've been to probably 100+ Brewers games. And I've seen people be obnoxious. I've seen people get into verbal sparring. I've never seen this.
The video's on Twitter.
We can't play the video because it's too much.
It's full of profanities.
And it is abhorrent. And of course there are people in the comments saying, this happens all the time.
Ain't no big thing. If you're going to go to a sporting event, then you're just going to have to just deal with it.
Yeah.
They were not engaging with him.
No.
They didn't provoke this guy. He was behind them just hurling insults specifically at the woman. Now, other comments that I saw on Twitter were like yelling at the guy who posted the video, Alexander Boss, for saying, why didn't you stand up and punch him? Come on, be a manly man. That's stand up and punch him.
Not how you solve situations.
My question is, why didn't the two buddies on either side of him tell him to shut the F up?
I can't tell you that.
Guys?
Anybody out there?
Guys?
Do we have any listeners who think this is normal and tell us why?
It's perfectly acceptable, and women, we should just get used to it, right? This is just what happens.
Frankly, Jane, your tone is taking on too much. I don't like it.
Am I being a little shrill?
A little shrill.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You're just an ugly, dumb C word. This just happens at sporting events. Is that accurate, guys? I'd love to hear from you.
I can only speak from my experience. I've never seen anyone do that. I'm sure there are people out there who be like, oh yeah, it happens all the time. That means nothing to me. That happens all the time doesn't mean it's right or expected or justified.
Calvin?
None of those things.
Well, echoing everything Greg said, but also to say that Philly sports fans kind of have a reputation for being awful.
Yeah.
So it's not normal in the general sense, but it might be normal in Philadelphia.
855-752-4842. I'd love to hear defend this guy. Please do. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In the first week of the new session of the Wisconsin State Legislature, Republicans fast-tracked a measure that would put a question on the ballot in the upcoming spring election that would enshrine voter ID in the state constitution. Two things on this. First, it is telling that Republicans made this their very first order of business. Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein responded to this, saying it's not cost of living or health care or gun violence that Republicans wanted to focus on, but a constitutional amendment. Telling, isn't it? But that leads to the second piece. Republicans are clearly doing this for politically motivated reasons. By having this on the spring election ballot, they're betting it will make it more likely that people who showed up to vote for Donald Trump in November will be heading to the polls to help elect right-wing candidate Brad Schimmel to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That election is on April 1st, so buckle up.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Earl Ingram.
The Republicans and Donald Trump want to impose tariffs. They say it's going to bring in $2.7 trillion.
That's what they say when they're trying to justify a tax reduction. Those broad tariffs are not good for the average American.
You know, Sandy, I'm not a guy that knows anything about calculus and any of those things, but I do know how to add and subtract. They're adding to the national debt.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News from the center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call, text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, talking about Sunday's Packers-Eagles game. Story out now about an Eagles fan who essentially ruined the game for some Packers fans after essentially screaming at them. He was behind them. Mm-hmm. Screaming at the woman, "You're a dumb, ugly C-word," through the entire game.
Yeah.
And some of the comments, and you can see the video on Twitter. It's there. Some of the comments are like, "Well, what's wrong with you, dude? Why didn't you punch him? Defend your fiance. Call security. Why didn't you do something?" My question is, why didn't his two buddies who were with him say, "Hey, douchebag, shut up"?
I mean, the question is, at some point, why wasn't this handled by security far before it got to this point? I mean, when you go to my experience is going to Brewers games. If people are acting up, they actually have a number you can text that's all over the stadium.
Oh, really?
It says if there's problems, you text, you tell them where you are, and someone will come to you. I don't know if the Lambeau Field has the same thing, but I feel like this should have been nipped in the bud before it escalated to this point with security. But you're right. The buddies, all of those men, not the fiance, all of those men bear responsibility.
Yes, they do. I'm sorry, but you do. If you're standing there and your buddy is the one who is doing this and you don't say anything, you are part of the problem.
Calvin said, oh, sorry. This was
I know they found him.
But it was in Philly, not Green Bay.
Oh, yes.
It was the
Packers-Eagles game.
That's the thing, though, is if you're hanging out with a guy who will do this.
He does it all the time.
Well, he probably does it all the time. He probably says way worse in private. Your buddies aren't going to be the arbiters of justice. You're not hanging out with the best people.
Well, I assume they all agree with him.
Exactly. I could never count on another person's friend to help if they hang out with a person like that. This guy, and the thing is, you watch the video. The part I saw, he doesn't seem drunk. He's not even screaming at her. He's like presenting it as almost like it's a sign to be like, this is what she is. Like, It's so measured. It's disgusting. And it says to me he does this all the time.
And feels completely comfortable doing so. 855-752-4842. If you would like to join the conversation, Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Good morning, Cindy. Thanks for joining us. What do you think about this?
Well, I think all women need to start carrying bear spray. And when something like that happens, you shoot the SOB in the face with it.
Then he'd get her charged with assault, Cindy.
Yeah,
she is the one who would be charged with assault.
Yeah, but he was verbally assaulting her.
Yeah, but I think, Cindy, we live in a world where the person defending themselves, we see this all the time, people defending themselves are the ones who get in trouble. And as the people in the comments section are saying, hey, just deal with it. Just deal with it.
Yeah, she could have punched him in the jewels, and then she would be in jail.
Yeah. I would have loved to have seen that.
As several people on the live stream have pointed out, they did find him. The guy got doxxed. And now he has been banned for life from attending any more Eagles games, which he is forever going. Thank you, Cindy, by the way, for checking in. Which he will forever blame this woman for that.
Yep.
And then the Eagles have sent her a bunch of Packers gear.
And here's the one thing I will say. I think good on the Eagles for doing what they did. It wasn't like what happened in New York during the World Series when two Yankees fans assaulted, in my opinion, one of the Dodgers and tried to rip a ball out of his hand. And the Yankees were like, good job, buddies. Yeah, you're great. The Eagles acted. They didn't have to be pressured into doing it. And they acted, I think, correctly. Ban that guy for life. Ban his buddies for life, too. Ban all three of them.
And give her and her and the and her the girl, the woman and her fiance, give them season tickets for next season.
I don't think they ever want to go to an Eagles game.
Well, you might be right.
I don't think I ever want, they probably don't ever want to go to Philadelphia again.
From the text line, Ronnie and Horicon, Jane and Greg, that gentleman was doxxed. So there's that.
Yep.
And the Packers fans were really calm. And you're right, Ronnie. They were very calm and they did their best to ignore him.
Yeah.
He was just so unbelievably obnoxious.
Yep.
Andrew on the text line listening on WAUK regarding the Philly Neanderthal, I'd be willing to bet this is normal behavior for this guy, and thus his buddies are used to it and just tune him out, or they also found it hilarious.
No, they found it hilarious. They found it hilarious. Also, his employer has opened up an investigation on him, too.
Like, well, we'll see if anything happens with that.
But repercussions have happened in these situations. People do get fired for doing things like this. They F around and they find out. And that's a common saying in Philadelphia. And this guy did it. And we'll see where it goes. I mean, he's already, yeah. This is not a regular thing. No one should
ever. At sporting events?
Not that I've seen. It's not a regular thing. It's something that anyone should accept. And if you are defending this in the comments, you suck.
PJ on the live stream, the internet found him already. His place of employment has been notified, and they are investigating. Alicia also, it's just locker room talk, she said sarcastically.
I can't imagine.
And I think that is part of the problem. I think Donald Trump has normalized this made it okay.
Yes.
He has made it okay for men to say such things to women.
He's not only normalized it, he's given them a sense of like, we're free.
We're free from those shackles.
The shackles of respect are off. I can say what I want. Well, how about if I come to your house, buddy, and call your mom that same thing? What would you do? Why is it different?
You want to leave a comment?
I want to leave a lot of comments.
855-752-4842. We have news coming up next when we come back. He is Civic Media's sports director, and he's also very involved in local schools. We're going to talk about some school things. We're going to talk about some potential changes in high school sports. Jimmy Cuska will be joining us. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. If you have frozen chicken and cheese taquito products in your freezer from Aldi, you'll want to check the package. There's a recall on Casa Mamita chicken and cheese taquitos produced on July 3rd and September 25th. Over 24,000 pounds of taquito products are being recalled. They have Best Buy dates of 7/3/25 and 9/25/25 on the bottom panel. A consumer found a piece of metal in the chicken and cheese taquito, and another person reported a dental injury from the product. If you have these in your freezer, you should throw them out or return them to Aldi, where you purchase them. Wisconsin gets a C Ford's gun laws. That's according to the Giffords Law Center to prevent gun violence. But the balance of the legislature is changing, and some advocates hope gun laws get more attention. Civic Media's Lisa Hale reports.
The Giffords Law Center compares a state's gun laws with that state's deadly outcomes. And according to Lindsay Nichols from the center, they find the same results every time. The stronger the state's gun laws, the lower the death rate. And the weaker the laws, the more people who die.
We know that these gun laws work, and there really is no reason why legislators shouldn't be taking action to prevent these tragedies.
While Wisconsin has enacted basic gun safety laws, she notes that the state could also pass bans on assault weapons or high-capacity magazines or lengthen the waiting time for a firearms purchase. She says the state could also benefit from red flag laws. Despite public pressure for new gun safety laws in 2020, Wisconsin has not passed any significant gun legislation in years. Democrats have tried unsuccessfully to introduce at least 30 gun safety measures since 2019.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It's one thing not to advance in a nationally televised singing competition show. It's another thing to storm off when you're eliminated. And it's still another thing to do it dressed as a toad. Macy Gray is a Grammy-winning artist. On The Masked Singer, where her identity was concealed, she was referred to as Toad in a Hole, also known as a disgusting name for a breakfast plate. Gray eventually came back for the Q&A, where she said, "You know, I've been singing for a long time, and now I'm a toad." Ouch. At least she got paid. Timothy Chalamet will not only host Saturday Night Live in January, he will also be the musical guest. SNL announced the actor will make his third appearance as host January 25th. In addition to receiving rave reviews for his acting in the Bob Dylan biopic A Complete Unknown, the actor has also been lauded for his singing. Chalamet says he spent 5 years preparing for the role, which included singing lessons, and was adamant about not lip-syncing. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Super sunny but feeling frigid cold. High temperatures will reach the mid-teens, but with feisty winds out of the northwest gusting up to 15 miles per hour, it's really going to be feeling like highs closer to 5 below. We've got another cold night on tap tonight before a warm-up starts tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlow. It's 3 degrees at our studios.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
can you
tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
it? No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At 2 o'clock, I address whether the January 6th committee destroyed evidence. You know, that little tidbit that's been flying around the MAGAverse. It ain't true. We discuss.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the board lord, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. After the 11 o'clock news, we're going to talk about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Very, very expensive already.
Yeah.
And we'll take a little look at the two candidates, Susan Crawford and Brad Schimmel. I have some thoughts.
Oh, shimmies.
That's coming up after the 11 o'clock news. Right now, though, he is Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Cuska. Our colleague is here. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're good. Thank you for making time for us. We're going to talk about some of the changes within high school sports in just a little bit. But I wanted to start off, Jimmy, with an article that you shared with me from ProPublica. And the headline reads, "On a Mission from God, Inside the Movement to Redirect Billions of Taxpayer Dollars to Private Religious Schools." And this is something not happening in other, just in other places. That's happening here in Wisconsin, too.
Yeah, and you know, it was funny because I shared it because I'm reading through it. I'm like, well, wait a minute. This all just kind of happened here in Wisconsin, right, with the last budget cycle. In fact, a couple parts of the article really, really called out to me. I'm on a school board here in Wisconsin. And one of them that was called out was the fact that for rural schools, like the one that I'm in, there aren't a lot of private or voucher schools, right, that are in like Western Wisconsin, Northern Wisconsin. So, this movement to put money into voucher or private schools is essentially just, it's taking money from areas where these schools don't exist and it's funneling them to suburbs or cities where these schools do exist. So our district, for example, the last 2 years has sent over $100,000 to private or voucher schools outside of our district. So that's money that is levied here in our district in Western Wisconsin that is sent elsewhere. And that is one of the parts that's called out in this article, in that that all this money is funneling to certain people and certain groups. And it's being taken out of taxpayer money. And in this case, in what's happening here, as well as in the article calls out Ohio, but it's also happening here in Wisconsin, where money's leaving rural Wisconsin and heading to the suburbs.
And if I understand correctly, Jimmy, this money is going, these are for-profit schools, correct?
Correct. Yeah. And that's the thing is, with private schools in Wisconsin, the accountability to public schools, we just got the DPI report cards, right? There's accountability for what happens with Wisconsin public schools. There's review, there's open records. Those things all have to be taken into account. Private schools don't have to do all of those things. There's a different set of rules for what they do. So, if there's some missing check mark in that list of accountability, all of a sudden becomes a fight in the legislature, right? Like, look at what's happening in Milwaukee right now. But for private schools, there aren't as many rules, right? There's just not that transparency that you get with public schools.
We've been saying, because we've been told for the longest time now, you're not just paying for one school district, you're paying for two school districts. But really what you are saying is that you're paying, if you're a taxpayer, you're paying for your school district, but your money is also being funneled out of your community. It's bad enough that you'd be financing a second school district within your community. Your money's being funneled to other parts of the county, maybe even the state, to help those private school districts as well. So that's what I'm hearing when I hear you say that. Am I wrong, Jimmy?
No, that's what we see here. I mean, we just had our annual budget in October, right? We have every district has to do their annual budget, their public budget hearing. And you get to see that line item. In our district, it's $109,000, and that's in for a district whose operating expenses are about $12 million. That's not an insignificant number. That's a teacher.
That's a lot of money.
That's a couple of paraprofessionals. Like that's staff that you don't have, right? Those resources that don't exist now in your community. And really what it is, when you looked at the last biennial budget, I think, some people were happy that that there were some modest increases for public schools in terms of moving up the bottom, the floor of the cap, adding on the per pupil, things like that. It didn't move the needle for some districts. Some districts actually even lost funding from the state because of it. But what you saw was that the math changed for private school reimbursement for vouchers, and that allows that, you know, that allows those schools to have a higher reimbursement rate for students, and that's something that that we find ourselves now essentially funding to school systems in Wisconsin, which is what's happening in other states. It's not all bad news. There are some states that are kind of that are turning against us, even in, you know, even in the South, like Kentucky famously, you know, was against having a voucher system. Right. So,
and they're still fighting it
in some places. They're wisening up to what's happening, realizing that this is damaging, especially to rural schools that don't have the resources and are already dealing with funding issues tied to declining enrollment. Well, now with private voucher schools receiving, you know, certain amount of money from the state and a lot of money. If you look at the DPI's website for school funding, it tells you exactly how much money is going. You know, it's hundreds of millions of dollars that are, you know, that would have gone maybe in the past to public schools. That's all going in terms of going into vouchers now. So, yeah, in Wisconsin, taxpayers are now footing the bill for two school systems, and it's only exacerbating the issues with the school funding crisis that we're in right now.
Jimmy, you had mentioned that private schools and religious schools don't have to fall under the same standards as public schools do. What is the justification for that? I have never heard anyone explain why they should not have to follow the same standards.
It's because on its face, you know, if you receive taxpayer money, you're held accountable to it. But voucher schools, for whatever reason, despite receiving taxpayer money, they're only accountable to parts of it, but not all of it. And beyond that, I'm not an expert on that. I couldn't explain it to you because I'm in a public school district and I only know what we have to do. But for private schools, some of those things just, they don't have to be done because they're not held to the same standard. And that's, again, that's just based on from what I understand. I wish I knew more about that and I could dive more into that for you. But that's that from what I see, you know, from what I'm seeing when it comes to DPI reporting, they have their own set of things that they get to report on. They do take some of the same assessment things and then they tout this glowing success in these. But the assessments, too, are skewed because private schools don't have to accept
everyone.
All students, right? Public schools do.
Right.
So public schools typically get burdened, like in our district, by having to take on special needs population. And every kid deserves it. This is not a knock against this. Every kid deserves an education. But private schools don't have to take that on. And in our district, nearly a quarter of our students have some form of special education need, whether it's an IEP or whether it's something, right? And you know, it's also more expensive for a district. For those students, more resources are needed. There's specialists needed. Some kids need one-on-one, so you need more support staff for things. And again, private schools don't have to. They can take whoever they want. They can also cap their enrollments, so they can keep their enrollments low if they want to. They don't have to take every student. A public school has to take all of these students, which is why there's a growing trend now of public schools capping open enrollment for special education, because there aren't the resources that help those students if they're coming from other districts. As in some cases like ours, you know, districts have to take care of the people that already live there and resources are already pretty strained.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up because there's two points I wanted to touch on with this. Is one, I've heard discussions, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that if a private school does take on special needs, they get a reimbursement up to like 90%, whereas I think public school gets something very low, like 20, 30, maybe less. But also, we're talking about enrollment too. The private schools can actually take whoever they want.
They can pick and choose.
They can pick and choose, and then once they've gotten the money, they can
toss
kick them
out.
If they don't adhere to handbook, like bylaws of the school, they can take the kid and then kick them out
and keep the money.
So there's all this discrepancy and non-accountability on top of the fact that they're just getting more money than our public schools are for certain programs.
Well, the article that we were talking about from ProPublica talking about Ohio, another kind of spiraling factor in this is that, you know, the families that are kind of left behind in this movement to go into voucher or private schools, are the families don't have the means to move their students, you know, into a new district, into a private school because of financial things, or just they physically can't move or place themselves in a spot where that makes sense. So what you see are more stable families, higher performers in school. they end up going to these to private or voucher schools, you know, so those, so it increases, you know, the performance evaluations that they take, that the better students leave the public districts, go to the private districts, their scores go up. Public schools get dinged as they see kind of this exodus of some of these students, especially not so much in the rural areas. This is more of an issue in cities and in suburbs. You know, rural areas don't have private schools to go to. So you kind of just see this cycle, this spiral of students kind of leaving, you know, leaving the public schools in urban areas, either going into suburban schools or going into private schools. And then you see the testing and the disparities. Everybody sees the report cards and the DPI, you know, which take into account a lot of factors, are very complicated. If you look at just the raw number at the end, you're not seeing the full picture. There's a lot of things that go into those. And the report card is different for each school. The criteria is different for each one. But just to simplify it, when you have private schools that can be very selective in who gets admitted, that can also, you know, inflate what's happening in terms of the test scores and things like that. And then it just becomes a cycle of like, well, if you want your kids to go to a good school, well, you have to go here because we test better. Well, you know, there's a lot that goes into that. Yeah. So the student movement is another part of it.
If you're just joining us, Jimmy Cuska is our guest. He is Civic Media Sports Director, but he also serves on a school board here in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about increasing pushes around the country, and they're fighting this big right now in Tennessee. Governor Bill Lee in Tennessee has been pushing for school vouchers for a long time, and he's getting a lot of pushback on it. Whether or not the public will prevail remains to be seen. But I think it's important to point out as well, Jimmy, that I mean, certainly people who send their kids to private school in many instances probably have to make sacrifices in order to be able to afford to do that. So the vouchers are a help to them. But there are also families who are in great financial shape sending their kids to private schools, and they also benefit from this program as well.
Yeah, when they expanded voucher programs in states, including, as I said, the article references Ohio, but it's happening in a lot of places too, when they raise that cap. All of a sudden, you know, it's expanded to families that probably have the means to just handle it on their own. But it's also leading to an interesting trend too. Again, noted in the article with Ohio that now private schools can increase their tuition as the aid rates go up. So
seriously, you know,
even more money coming in. And I think one of the most crazy lines in the whole piece to me was that schools can essentially take the taxpayer money that they get from the voucher program, turn around and use that taxpayer money to advertise with taxpayer dollars for more students to come out of public schools to come into their program, which to me was one of the craziest lines I read in it. Obviously, the other one being just some of the anecdotes that politicians that support it generally saying things like, well, this is the beginning of the end for public education. And, you know, it's hard to dispute that. We had hundreds of referendums last year on the ballot related to funding issues. Now that the COVID era federal funding is gone, we've got a bunch of them, dozens already up for this year, including one here in the central part of the state, which they're trying for a third time at an operational referendum. If it doesn't pass, they say, well, we're going to have to dissolve as a district because we'll be financially insolvent within a couple of years.
But I think that's the goal. I've said this for a long time. The goal is to kill public education and funnel everything into religious indoctrination programs, because that's the way I see it. But it seems cross purposes to me, because if we lose all of our public schools, so many of our little towns are going to die, because the public school is the center of the town. We're going to continue our conversation with Jimmy Cuska, but we're going to talk about some changes, potential changes being kicked around for high school sports. That's all on the way. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the vast statewide, countrywide. We are global on the app. Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Heroicdeed.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. As we approach the 15th anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court's Citizens United decision, we consider the estimated $15.9 billion spent in the 2024 campaign. While still tallying up the total, Money and Politics watchdog Open Secrets estimates the 2024 election cycle was the costliest ever, surpassing 2020's $15.1 billion. For context, the $15.9 billion estimate is larger than the state budgets of New Hampshire, Vermont, and Idaho combined. Only 24% of political contributions to candidates were small donations of $200 or less, down from 30% in 2020. When you consider contributions to PACs and other outside spending, that percentage drops further with only 16% from small donors. The top 1% of donors, they contributed an estimated 50% of all political contributions. That means by far, our elections are not funded by citizens who actually vote, but by wealthy special interests and corporations whose interests may not align with the majority of voters. Open Secrets projects that outside spending alone, mostly by super PACs, will reach $5 billion. Now that the election is over, it's the inaugural fund setting records. The New York Times reports that donors to the Trump inaugural have contributed over $170 million. More on that tomorrow. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
News from the center, WRCE.
When some loud bragger tries to put me down and says this school is great, I tell him right away, now what's the matter, buddy? Ain't you heard of my
school? Welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Buck, and our resident young person, Calvin, on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 11 o'clock news, going to talk about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. It's getting pricey already. Lots of money being shelled out for this, and we're going to take a closer look at one of the people who are running to be our next Supreme Court justice here in Wisconsin. Stick around for that after 11:30. I talked about this yesterday, the world's worst broccoli cheese soup ever. And I posted on this about Blue Sky. I took some action.
Hold on. I just got to call the Pulitzer people for this.
Let them know.
Yeah. Broccoli cheese soup.
The big broccoli cheese controversy coming up after 11:30. Right now, though, Jimmy Cuska is here. He is Civic Media Sports Director, and we were talking about schools and school funding and the increasing push around the country, including here in Wisconsin, to take money away from public schools and shove it into private schools. And there's a place where you can see just how much we're spending.
Correct. The Wisconsin Public Education Network has a wonderful calculator system. Actually, not a calculator system, but it's a breakdown. County by county, school board by school board, depending on where you live. It will tell you how much of your tax dollars has been diverted to voucher programs, charter programs, non-public education. And We're talking a lot of money.
Lots of money.
I just looked at it was Appleton. Almost $7.5 million in tax money has been diverted to various voucher programs.
And again, don't forget, they don't have to follow the same oversight that public schools do. I'm sure it's fine.
It's great.
I'm sure it's just
fine. It's great.
Let's talk sports balls, Jimmy Cuska. There is not everyone is happy with what's going on with high school sports. So let's talk about some of the changes that are being considered and what are some of the issues that have people annoyed?
I mean, there's a lot of issues that people annoyed, but I will say that right now, and this is something we've had on Civic Media's website. We've been talking a bit about how they're changing. The Coaches Association for Football has proposed a change to how teams qualify for the playoffs. In Wisconsin, football is the only sport where not every team makes the playoffs, and that's just the nature of the sport. It's not safe to play more than one game in a week. The season can only last so many weeks before it encroaches on, like, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and beyond. So of the state's about 420-ish programs, 240 of them make the playoffs in either 11 or 8 player. So the qualification process, there was a mistake made by the WIAA this year. Two teams got left out that shouldn't have been. That prompted more discussion and change for the qualification process. The process for where teams are seeded, so the top team getting a 1 seed, et cetera, down through 8 for each group, that process is unknown. It's an algorithm. Coaches didn't like that. Not very transparent. It resulted in some teams that have maybe 1 or 2 losses having to go on the road right away in the playoffs against a team with more losses than them. So the proposal had an overwhelming support from coaches. It's now in WIAA committee with a potential decision on that coming in February, actually early February, at the Board of Control meeting on February 4th. That could be implemented in time for this fall. It would be the first real drastic change for playoff qualification in a really long time. The last big change was standardizing the size of conferences in the state to having 8 teams and 7 conference games, which happened about 5 years ago. So that's the one change that's kind of in progress. I think the other one that might be of more interest and broader interest if you're not into football is name, image, and likeness. Now, we've heard about it at the college level,
yeah,
but it is happening at high school levels all across the nation.
No, yep. It's amazing. So, yeah, it's amazing. Holy cow.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, the NIL discussion is heading probably to a legislature near you, because that is where it has ended up in a lot of states. Colorado is actually in committee with a bill that would really open it up, and it would shield these agreements from open records laws. And that's become kind of the template now for NIL in college and high school ranks, is that these would be shielded from open records requests, which I find to be utterly fascinating. So
this is
something that is happening in legislation. In Wisconsin last year, the WIA membership, which is the schools, voted against it, but they also only had about 8 weeks to review the proposal. So that was a big reason why schools were kind of leery of it. Now they've had a whole year to do it. And I would imagine that when it comes back up this year, that it should have more support. Even if it doesn't pass, it may be legislated anyway, either by our state government or perhaps by the WIAA itself in just getting these things in. So it is coming. It's just a matter of how it gets here. And I imagine anything that starts in the legislature gets put in may not have the desired effect in terms of managing it that people may want. So.
Am I the only one, though, who, when you want to shield it from open records laws, that makes me twitchy. That almost makes me feel like, what could one be hiding that you don't want the public to know about?
Sure. Well, they're kids. We got to protect the kids.
Oh, man.
Man, can you imagine if I was if I played basketball in high school, I'd be bought off so easily. They'd be like, hey, man, you just want a new guitar? I'm like, sold. Take whatever you want, man. I don't care.
He's Greg Bach. He can be bought.
I can be bought. Yeah, I have a price.
Would just say, hey, here's some chocolate milk. I'd be like, yeah, sold. I mean, anyway, we'll have more coverage of that coming up on our website, civicmedia.us.
And I highly encourage you to follow our newsletters. And it's all curated to where you are in the state. Check it out at civicmedia.us. Jimmy Cuska, Civic Media Sports Director, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time, Jimmy.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you.
News coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come Friday, we'll be jacked up on the football game and I'll be ready to fight. We're going to smash it now. My girl will be working on her pom-poms now and she'll be yelling tonight.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome dietitian and nutritionist Sherry Stoka, and from the band Ask Your Mother, Eric Rathsack and Adam Krause join me in the studio. There will be rock.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. The Dom Salvia Show.
Brad Schimmel, a J6 sympathizer, and he wants to be your next Wisconsin Supreme Court
justice. When he was Attorney General of Wisconsin, he spent thousands of dollars on memorial coins.
I would have been fired.
That stood
if
for
I'd done that.
Kicking ass every day. Hey, if you got to get a coin that says it, you're probably not
with
doing it.
With your face on it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth answering questions and listening to comments from members of the Senate Armed Services Committee, including ranking member Senator Jack Reed, who told the former Fox News host,
"Unfortunately, you lack the character and composure and competence to hold the position of Secretary of Defense."
Hegseth saying he would be an agent of change for President Trump if nominated.
"It's time to give someone with dust on his boots the helm. A change agent. Someone with no vested interest in certain companies or specific programs or approved narratives."
Hegseth is a combat veteran who served in the National Guard. Asked directly about sexual assault allegations against him during his confirmation hearing, he dismissed that as a smear campaign, says he's been unfairly attacked. High winds are back in Southern California, but firefighters are making progress over some of the biggest wildfires around L.A. The Eden fire is now 35% contained. This is ABC News.
You can